Okay, we're holding on Pesachim Daf Samach Aleph. We're at the very bottom of Samach Amad Bet. We were talking about invalidating thoughts, and now we're going to ask about another invalidating thought. Right? If you slaughtered a korban Pesach, meaning the rest of the year, meaning not during Pesach, so it should be invalid because you're bringing korban Pesach not on Pesach. However, you have an invalidating thought because you didn't, you don't have in mind that you're going to bring it on behalf of the owners who brought you the korban, rather on behalf of someone else. Now, before Pesach, that would be a significant problem. You're not slaughtering for the right person. So, is that a sufficient problem not on Pesach to render it invalid as a korban Pesach? Which is davka what you need is to be. On the rest of the year, you need it to be an invalid korban Pesach in order for it to be a valid shlomit. Do we say that having the wrong owners in mind is like having the wrong intention in mind, meaning doing it shelo lishmo, in which case it should be a valid korban shlomim, or do we say that's not invalid thought enough? Amar Papa Amrita Lishamata. Kamai de Rava. So I stated that idea before Rava. Hoil Vishinoi Kodesh post lovizmano. I presented the following argument. So, if you have the wrong status of kedusha, meaning you do it shelo lishmo, right? Not l'shem korban pesach in the right time, that's pasul. And if you do it for the wrong owners in the right time, that's also possible. In which case, if it's the wrong time and you do it shelo lishmo, that's helpful. So too, and it's going to be a kosher korban. So too, if you do it for the wrong owners at the wrong time, that should also make it kosher. Amar li lo, and he said to me, that's not a valid assessment because the two cases aren't exactly the same. If you want, what can be said about the fact that you have the lo lishma intention, meaning you don't intend it as a korban pesach, which is a psul guf, right? Meaning it makes it intrinsically invalid, as opposed to just like not meeting a necessary criteria. It makes the korban itself invalid, right? And furthermore, that is an invalid intention. By all parts of the avoda, there are four parts of the avoda here, and at any point where you have the intention shelo lishmo, it invalidates the entirety of the korban v'yeshnu lachar mita. And furthermore, having it having the thought shelo lishmo invalidates the korban even after the death of the baal. Meaning, if the owner dies and then his inheritor brings the korban, and then you have the intention shelo lishmo. It's going to invalidate the korban. V'yeshno b'tzibur kri yachid, and furthermore, it invalidates the public korbanot and personal korbanot. So that's a very powerfully invalidating thought, and that's why during the rest of the year, it's also going to take it away from being considered a korban pesach. Tomer b'shino balim. Can you say the same thing about the kavana of having the wrong owner in mind? Dein psula begufo, which is not an intrinsic invalidation in the korban itself. It just had an improper intention. The inu ba'arba avodot, and it's not going to be a problem for any of the arba avodot, right? Meaning, if you have the wrong baal in mind in some of those avodot, in some of the processes, it's fine. It's still kosher. Veinu lachar mita, and it's not an invalidating thought for the korban after the owner dies, meaning, because if you said, if the korban belonged to Reuven, and then Reuven dies, and it fell to his son, Shimon, so Shimon's bringing the korban now, and you have a different baal in mind, right? Well, that's actually not invalidating because it's not technically Reuven's anymore because Reuven died. In which case, the fact that you had a different owner in mind doesn't make it invalid, right? And therefore, it's clearly not as powerful as an invalidating thought. And furthermore, you can't apply it to a korban tzibur, right? Because a korban tzibur is not owned by anyone. So it's like categorically having it shelo lishmo is a problem, but it's not categorical that having the wrong owner in mind is a problem. Only sometimes it's a problem, so it's not as powerful as an invalidating thought. And even though two of the four things we just mentioned are not entirely separate, meaning they're not major differences, or they're not exact. It's not exactly true that they're different from the cases of Shinoi Baalim. Tarte mi hadavka. However, two of those four things that we mentioned are concrete, and therefore that's enough, sufficiently different from a machshava of a different owner to differentiate the two, such that one would invalidate it shelo bizmano, and one would not invalidate it shelo bizmano. Demai shnas shinoi ba'alim de lo havi psula begufo de psula machshava ba'alma hi shinoi kodesh nami psula machshava ba'alma hi. Right, because what's the problem with shinoi with the wrong owner? It's not really a psul goof. It's really just having the wrong intention. It's not like the animal has a mum. But the truth is, having it shelo lishmo is also just the wrong intention. It's not really a mum. It's not really a blemish in the animal. So really, you can argue that if you want to say that having the wrong owner in mind is not a psul goof in the animal, so too having it shelo lishmo is not a psul goof in the animal. But too, furthermore, hadamar shino hibalim enu lachar mito. Because regarding having the wrong owner in mind after the owner dies, where you said it's not such a problem, well, we do have a shita that's Pinchas Breder of Ami, who says actually that is a problem. So in his opinion, it's the same thing, right? But still, even though you can kind of eliminate those two, because according to that shita, it's still a problem to bring it for a different owner, even once the original owner died. Still, we have two criteria that make it problematic. Tarte miha davkaninu. The other two differences that we established about the different avodas and the yachid and the tzibor are two very concrete differences between the two kavamas. So you can't bring a proof one from the other. Ela amar rava pesach shachto b'shayim otchana mishinoi ba'alim nasa kemi she'ein lo ba'alim bizmano. Puzzle. Rather, say like this. A korban pesach that was slaughtered the rest of the year for the wrong owner is similar to a pesach that does not have an owner during the proper time for korban pesach, and it's possible, right? Because you have to slaughter a korban pesach for the sake of the baalim. Okay. New mishnah shachto shalola ochlav shalola menuyav. This mishnah should sound familiar because we quoted it just. We just quoted it in last daf. Shachtu shalola ochla v'shalola menuya v'la reilim lutmeim pasul. So if you slaughter the korban pesach, not for the people who are going, for people who can't eat it, or for people who weren't pre-registered on it, or for people who don't have brit milas, or for people who are tamei, that korban is pasul. Le ochla v'shalola ochla lemenuya v'shalola menuya lemulim v'la reilim lutmeim v'la tohorim kasher. If you slaughter the korban pesach in mind for people who both cannot eat it and can eat it, who were not pre-subscribed to the korban and were prescribed to the korban, who were circumcised, but also some people who were not circumcised, for people who are tamei, but also some people who are tahor, then it's going to be kosher. Shachdu korim chatzot. Puzzle. If you slaughter the korban pesach before chatzot, it's puzzle. Mishum shenemar bein harbaim. The Torah says you have to slaughter in the afternoon. Shachdu kodem atamid. And if you slaughter it before the korban tamid, kosher. Still, it's going to be kosher. Even though ideally you're supposed to slaughter the korban pesach after the korban shel bein harbaim, vachia acher mimares bedamo ad shizor katamid. Right? As long as you have someone mixing the blood, so that it still fits to sprinkle on the mizbeach after the korban tamid is sprinkled, the imnis are kosher. But if you already sprinkled the korban pesach, it's still going to be kosher. Tana rabbanan kira up to the gemara. We learned in a brayta. Ketzad shelo le'ochlav. What's the case of slaughtering for the people who cannot eat? L'shum chol l'shum zakin. Right? If you have it for a sick person or an old person who are not able to eat from the korban pesach, ketzad shelo le'menuyav. And what's the case of slaughtering for people who are not prescribed in it? Nimnu alav chabura zov v'shachtu l'shem chabura acheret. Simple. You have one group who says, this is our korban pesach, you bring it for us, and you slaughter it on behalf of another group. Minani mili. And how do you know this is a problem, or how do you know this is an invalidating thought? The Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brayta. B'mich sat. Right? You slaughter the pesach in accordance with the amount of people who are bringing it. We learn from there that the Pesach can only be brought for the people who said, this is our Korban Pesach, right? For the people who were pre-subscribed to that Korban Pesach. Now, you may have thought to say that, okay, so I slaughtered it for the wrong people. So I didn't do the mitzvah of slaughtering it for the right people, but it's still kosher, right? It's not going to be pasul. Tamid lomar b'michsa tichasu, right? So the Torah says actually a double lashon of doing the korban for the people who are appointed on it, right? Hakatov shana alav la'akev, and the reason for the repetition of b'michzat tichosu is to it doubles up the lashon in order to make it me'akev. Meaning, if you don't do it this way, it's invalid. It's not just you miss the opportunity to do it a mitzvah. Rabbi Meir omer lashon sursi hu ki adam sheomer l'chaveru kosli talaze. Rabbi omer, it's actually an Aramaic expression that kaf vav samech is lashon of slaughtering, and so is what it seems to be indicating is slaughter this on my behalf. Eshkichan shalom minuf. Okay, well, we have now a pasuk that teaches me that if you do it for the people who are not prescribed to it, it's going to be invalid. Shalom ha'ochlav minalim. But how do I know that? Slaughtering it for the people who cannot eat it is also an invalidating thought. Amar kra ish lefi achlo techosu, because the pasuk says that each person, in accordance with what he eats, it should be slaughtered on his behalf. Itkash ochel minuya, right? And in that case, we have a hekesh between achila and between minuyin, right? And just like we taught that minuyin is a ma'akev invalidating thought, so too ochlin is a ma'akev invalidating thought. So if you had it for the wrong, for people who weren't pre-registered, or if you had it for people who cannot eat it, either one is an invalidating thought. Shachtu lemulin. If you slaughter it for the sake of people who are circumcised, amanat sheet kapru boar reilim bezrika, right? On the condition that, or for the purpose of that, when you do the zrika, it should be for people who, it should be kapara for the people who were not circumcised. Rav Chizda amar pasul, Rav amar kasher. Rav Chizda says, well, that's an invalidating thought. You're not allowed to slaughter this for the sake of a reilim. You should slaughter for the sake of people who are nimol. And Rabbah says that it's not an invalidating thought. It's still going to be kosher because the shechita was for the right intention. Rav Chizda amar pasul, yesh machshevet areilim mizrika. Rav Chizda says it's going to be a pasul because the improper intention, the intention for not uncircumcised people when you do the zrika tadam is an effective thought. Meaning, what that means is you can't. That does something. That is a proper invalid thought. That's going to render the korban itself invalid. Rabba Amar Kasher in Machshavat Arei LeMizrika, and then Rabba says it's kosher because that thought in the Zrika is a nothing. It doesn't come to hinder the rest of your korban. Amar Rabba Minamin. Rabba says, how do I know my sheet is correct? Where do I know my sheet from? The Tanya, we learned that a Baraita Yachol Yifsil B'nei Chabura Habayin Imo, that you may have thought that they have uncircumcised people in a group of other circumcised people, that they ruin it for everyone. But logically you should suggest that that's not the case. Ho'il the orla poselet, the tuma poselet, because since orla is since not being circumcised is an invalidating criteria in the Korban Pesach, and being tame, being impure, is an invalidating criteria in Korban Pesach. Right, matuma, so that I can make the following comparison. Matuma lo asaba miktzat tuma kikol tuma af orla lo asaba miktzat orla kikol orla. So then I can suggest like this. Just as is the case by tuma, where if some of the group is tame and some of the group is tahor, I don't treat it like part of it is tame, like everyone is tame, and therefore it's valid for the people who are tame. Tahor, so too I'm going to say by Orla, that I don't treat that if part of the group is circumcised and part of the group is uncircumcised, I don't invalidate the entirety of the offering because of the people who are uncircumcised, right? So that's the comparison that I'm going to set up, and that's how I know that just because some people are uncircumcised is not going to ruin the whole thing, because if some people are tame, that doesn't ruin the whole thing. Oh, kalach l'derech zo. Well, okay, that's one way of looking at it, but you could look at it this way. Ho'il ve'orla poselet uzman posel. Since not being circumcised is an invalid criteria for bringing the Korban Pesach, and not bringing it at the right time is invalid, right? Zman is also a significant component here. Mazman is asab miktzat zmano kichozmano af orla asab miktzat orla kichozmano, right? Kichol orla, right? Well, by zman, there is no partial, right? It's either the right time or the wrong time. And if you intend part of it for the right time and part of it for the wrong time, the whole thing is invalid. There's no miktzat there, right? If you part of the korban, right time. Part of the korban, not the right time. well, then it's invalid. It doesn't matter that part of it was at the right time. So Zman is posel, Orla is posel. Part of Zman is also a problem, so part of Orla is also a problem, right? Suggests like that. So even if part of the group is not circumcised, it's still going to be an issue. Nira lemidome. Okay, well, I have these two comparisons. One, okay, you have three things that are posel: Orla, Zman, and Tame, right? And we try to compare Orla to Tuma, meaning that part of the group being in Orla is not going to be a problem. And we try to compare Orla to Zman, meaning that part of the group being Orla, being not circumcised, is going to be a problem. So let's see, which one is it more similar to? Is it more similar to Orla? Is it more similar to Zman? Sorry, it's more similar to Tuma. It's more similar to Zman. Nir lemidome. Which one is it more similar to? Danin davar she'ein noeg b'chol hazvachim. Midavar she'ein noeg b'chol hazvachim. Right? She'ein noeg b'chol hazvachim. Right? We should compare two things which are not necessarily issues by all korbanot, and not compare one thing that's an issue by all korbanot and one thing and one thing that's not an issue by all korbanot. And so don't compare it to time, which is a relevant component in all zvachim. What that means is like this: someone who's not circumcised can generally send their korban with someone who is circumcised. Just making a shaliach. Someone who is tameh can generally send his korban with someone who is tahor. And just making a shaliach. By korban pesach, you can't do that. If you're not circumcised, or if you're tameh, you may not make someone who is circumcised or tahor your shaliach. Two unique things that happen by korban pesach that is not normal to other korbanot. So we should compare those two, which are not generally an issue, but an issue here. Or as opposed to, if you do it at the wrong time, that's always a problem, right? If you have a certain set, if you have a set time to bring a korban and you don't bring it at that time, that's always an issue. So let's compare the two things which are not problems for all korban and only problems here, and not compare one thing, like an uncircumcised person bringing a korban, to another thing, which is bringing it at the inappropriate time, which is a problem by all korbanot. Okay, that's one way of looking at it, which would make Orla and Tame seem more similar. But I could also suggest a different way of looking at it. Danin davar shelo hutar miklalo, medavar shelo hutar miklalo, val dochiach tuma shutar miklalo. How about if two things are absolutely problematic and there is no heter, there's no way around it, right? Then I should group those two things together, as opposed to linking it to something that has a heter, right? There's no way around Orla problem. If you are not circumcised, you may not bring the Korban Pesach under any circumstances, right? And there's no way around the Zman problem. If it's not the right time, it's not a Korban Pesach under any circumstances. However, if you're Tameh, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, if once most of Klal Yisrael is Tameh, you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach, Tameh. In which case, that has a special heter to it. So I'm not going to compare, so why would I compare Tumah to Orla, when Tuma has a special heter, if most of Klal Yisrael is all is Tameh, but Orla there's no heter for, so it's more similar to Zman, like there's no heter for. Talmud Lomar Zot, right? But the says the Braita, we therefore the Torah needs to teach us the word Zot as a limud. Okay, what does Zot do? We're about to explain my Zot. What is Zot doing here? Ilema dechula Orla psula pasla. Because if you want to say that that the entirety of the group, if the entirety of the group is uncircumcised, then it's going to be invalid. Miksat lo pasla, right? However, Zot comes along to teach us that if part of the group is Orla and part of the group is circumcised, then that's not going to be pasla. Haim v'chol aral nafka. No, because you don't need Zot to come and teach me that unique limud that if only part of the group is uncircumcised, it's still valid. That I already know. The pasuk says v'chol Orla nafka, right? That all are uncircumcised, right? If all of them are uncircumcised, it's a problem. Part of them uncircumcised, not a problem. So that's not what Zot is coming to teach you. Rather, this is what Zot is coming to teach you. Talmud Lomar, v'chol aral kula or la psula. V'chol aral comes to teach me that only if the entire group is uncircumcised, it's going to be a problem. Miktata lo pasla. However, if part of the group is uncircumcised, it's not going to be pasla. V'chi tema huadin l'zrika. And you might want to say this, the same is true by zrika, that if all the group is orla, it's going to be a problem. If part of the group is uncircumcised, then it's not going to be a problem. The chula orla miha pasla. However, by zrika, if everyone is in orla, if everyone is uncircumcised and you have the intention to do it for a full group of uncircumcised people, then it's going to be a problem. Just like it would be a problem by the shechita if you have an intention for an entire group of uncircumcised people. Talmud Lomar Zot. And then the Torah comes to teach you, zot, this, it's a mute. And what does that mute do? B'shchita hu dekule orla miha pasla. Only by shchita, if you have the full intent, if you have intention only for uncircumcised people, it's going to be pasla. Ala zrika filu kula orla nami lo pasla. However, if you have intention by the zrikat hadam, by sprinkling of the blood, only for uncircumcised people, still, it's going to be, it's not going to be pasla. Right? Meaning, where we said that, what does zot come to teach me? That where we said that having a kavana for only uncircumcised people is an invalidating thought, that's only by the shechita. That's zot. This the shechita is the problem. However, by the zrika, you can even have the kavana for only uncircumcised people, and it still wouldn't be a problem. And if you want to say, well, why is zrika so mekel, right? By shechita, it's a problem. Why is zrika so mekel? The ein machshevet ochlev zrika, right? Well, because we know that zrika is more mekel because if you have the wrong intention, if you have intention for the people who are not able to eat it by the zrika, that doesn't actually render it invalid. In which case, we know already that kavana by zrika is not as problematic as kavana by shechita. V'Rav Chisda, and how does Rav Chisda explain this use of the word zot in order to explain his shechita? Adaraba le'idach gisa, he says it's the exact opposite. Tamalomer v'chol aral, right? So we have this limud from v'chol aral, kula orla pasla mixat lo pasla, right? That if the entire group is uncircumcised, then it's a problem. However, if only part of the group is uncircumcised, it's still going to be a valid korban pesach. Aval zrika afilu mixat hanami pasla, but zrika is not different in that it's more mekil. It's different that it's more machmir by zrika. Even if part of the group, even if you have an intention for part of the group, which is uncircumcised, everything's possible. V'chitema hu adin lezrika, and aval v'chitema hu adin lezrika de ad deika kula orla hu pasla tamelomar zot shchita hu de mikzat lo pasla aval zrika afilu mikzat pasla. And if you want to say, well, why isn't zrika the same thing as shchita? Just like shchita, you can have a mikzat of the right intention, mikzat wrong intention. So to zrika, you can have a mikzat right intention, mikzat wrong intention. No, that's where the Torah teaches zot. This zot by shchita, you have this special dispensation where you're allowed to have partial right intention, partial wrong intention. By zrika, you don't have such dispensation. V'chitema my chumer zrika. And if you want to say, well, why would zrika be more machmir than shchita, right? We're doing the complete inverse limud. Right beforehand, we tried to say that zrika is more mekel, and we say, well, why would zrika be more mekel? Now we're saying that zrika is more machmir. Well, why is zrika be more machmir? The lo mikva pigul elab zrika. Why? Because if you want something to be a pigul, right? What pigul is a kohen has an improper intent while bringing the korban pesach. He's like, you know what? By bringing a korban in general, he's like, yeah, I want to eat this korban. At a time, I'm not supposed to be eating the korban, right? In improper intention, it invalidates the korban. However, it's only once the zrika happens can you consider it pigul. Beforehand, if he has an invalid intention, right, he can still change it from its pigul status by having a different intention later on, right? It's not the topic for now. But once you do the zrika, the sprinkling of the blood, with an improper intention, it's pigul. And that's the chumrah that exists by zrika. That zrika is what makes it, is what finalizes something as pigul. Right? Okay, matki flare Ravashi challenges that interpretation. Mimai the hai v'chol aral kula mashma dumahai v'chol aral mashma kol dehu orla. Your very assumption is strange, right? You say kol aral from the fact that it says all uncircumcised people. I know from there that that only if the entire group is uncircumcised, it's invalid. But if part of the group is uncircumcised, it's valid. But I'm going to challenge that very limit itself. Maybe kol aral is kol dehu aral. Any aral is a problem. Any uncircumcised, meaning kol dehu aral. Any uncircumcised person is going to create a problem in this group. Katav Rachmana zot de ad deika kula orla lo pasla lo shna b'shchita v'lo shna b'zrika. In which case, the Torah teaches me zot, right? And that zot comes to teach me that what? That until I have the entire group being uncircumcised, it's going to be valid up until that point, right? But I need the zot to teach me that. To teach me that a group of partially uncircumcised, partially circumcised people is not an invalidating thing. Is not an invalidating kavana, right? because the Ikar Limit itself, the Chol Aral, makes it sound like if anyone's an Aral, it's in a problem. In which case, Lo Shnav Shchid, Lo Shnav Zrika. In which case, the Miktsat group, meaning if it's partially circumcised, partially uncircumcised, it's going to be the same din that is valid both by Shchita and by Zrika, because the Zot, the last two interpretations we heard, that Zot comes to differentiate Shchita and Zrika. But here, the Zot teaches me something else, in which case Shchita and Zrika should be the same din. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi, based on that challenge to the understanding, offers another interpretation. Rav Chizda, the Rabba, the High Krach, Rav Chizda and Rabba are arguing with the following pasuk. V'nirtze lo l'chaper alav, right? That the offering is accepted and it does atonement for him. Allah velo al chaveru, meaning it does atonement for him and not for his friend. Rabba savar chaveru dumi didei. Rabba says that, well, his friend is similar to him. Ma hu debar kapara av chaveru debar kapara. So just like he is bar kapara, just like he can be atoned for by the offering, so to his friend needs to be atoned for by the offering. Lapuke ha'ara al delav bar kapara hu. To come to exclude his friend, who is not who cannot be atoned for because he's uncircumcised, right? For Rav Chizda, Savar Hai Aral Nami Kivan Devar Chiyuvahu Bar Kaparahu Hoyel De Ivai Mitakin Navshe. Whereas Rav Chizda would say that no, his friend, it also works for his friend. Why? Because even though he's an Arel, even though he's uncircumcised, he's still a Bar Chiyuva. He's still Chayev to bring the Korban Pesach, so it should work for him. Because what's separating him from executing the Korban Pesach, just fixing himself, just bringing a Korban Pesach. Meaning, it's not like he's a non-Jew and he's not relevant here. He's Jewish. He's chayav in it. He's under the chiyuv here. So, and the only thing he's missing, he's under the chiyuv. He's chayav. The only thing he's missing here is a Brit Mila, and he could do a Brit Mila. He could circumcise himself. In which case, he's under the general. He's under this law in a broader sense. So, explanation number three to what we originally said about the machloke between Rabba and Rav Chizda, where Rabba says that it's kosher if you have in mind to do this Rika, if the shchita is for circumcised people, and this Rika includes uncircumcised people, where Rav Chizda says that's invalid. So Rabba says, or rather, Rav Chizda says it's an invalid korban because arelim are because in improper intention when it comes to uncircumcised people in the Zrika can totally invalidate your korban because they're included here in the general category. So having the wrong intention is totally nullifying. Whereas Rabba says, no, they're totally outside the category. They're totally outside the boundaries here. So having an improper intention regarding them is not actually going to create a problem. Okay, we'll stop here and pick up from the next daf, challenging this third interpretation that assumes that Rav Chizda holds that because he can fix himself by doing a Korban Pesach, that makes him under the general category here of the Korban, such that having an improper thought by him would ruin the entire Korban itself.